Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message. So this is Looking Ahead Sunday. I'm going to start with unpacking a few things that have a significant impact on our 2025. We had a great leaders community meeting just on Tuesday, and there's some important church news that I was shared, and I'm going to share that with you all today as we get started. And that's the thing, if you go to your leaders community meetings, you hear things first, okay? So if you're at that meeting, you're going to hear some stuff again. But the even though you might think, I've already heard this, the advantage you have is that you can look smugly at other people and go, I knew that. I already knew that. Okay. So just a warning today, it's going to be part news, part Bible teaching, part commercial for an opportunity to visit some places of Christian significance next year. So, like, ooh, that sounds interesting. All right, first bit of news is Jake, our beloved and loud youth pastor. He's going to be finishing in his role. Jake and Grace, they're expecting this year. Which was in God's plans, but it wasn't in theirs. So, and let me tell you, like, youth ministry, for those who really care for people, as Jake does, it consumes so much of your thinking space, and you know, as well as lots of evenings and camps and different things. And as he's looked at, you know, the way forward in this time of life, he's just feeling like, you know, I need to just do some things a little bit different. In this season, as he focuses and prepares for starting a family, so he's going to still be very involved through term one and Easter camp. And he still has this deep sense of call to ministry, but it just looks a little bit different in this season coming up. So you might be thinking, well, so what's going to happen with our youth? And we really feel that God has been kind of orchestrating things for us. So some of you may know Isabel Edmonds, who got married yesterday. What? Oh, yes. Isabel, 2 days ago, Isabel Edmonds, who got married yesterday and is now Isabel Shaw. Isabel's been very, very involved in the life of the church, and everyone's going, who's this guy that you're marrying? which is Robbie, who is, I tell you, man, we were at the wedding yesterday, and people just kept talking about these two over and over again about how awesome they are. So Isabel, who has been the second in charge with the youth group for the last, you know, couple of years, maybe longer. This is one of the things that she does. She's just, you know, just because she wants to, she's been gathering together a group of these teenage girls on a early midweek, talking about scripture and life in Jesus and praying together, you know, for them. And amazing. So last year she was at Laidlaw studying ministry and leadership, theology, and last year she set up a number of our Coast Compassion ministries, as well as all the youth work and international mission trips and getting engaged. She's got a spatial design degree, and she's already been working part-time for Coast over the time of her studies in last year, and contributes a lot to our church community. Wonderful heart, hard worker, you know, incredible responsibility, now a married woman. Isabel is going to be our new youth pastor. And So she's very well known and loved by our high schoolers. Just real leadership gifts that it's been a real delight watching her in the journey of these last few years. And as well, we've got this other sort of bonus where God has led Nick and Anna Slade from Christchurch up to Coast. And some of you may or may not know Nick. That's them, okay? And they are awesome. Last the year before last, he was the Grace Vineyard campus youth pastor for one of their campuses. He's like a youth leader guru. And he took a year off last year as they came up the coast, but this year he's getting stuck in. And he's just going to be providing some just invaluable mentoring to Isabel as well. It just feels like, wow, what a gift, you know, of these things coming together. So it's an exciting new season for our youth community. And I know change is always... brings its like uncertainty, but we could just see the hand of God in this, and so that's what's happening there. So okay, all right. The second bit of big news item is that for me, I'm entering into a transition process out of my role as lead pastor here at Coast Vineyard. So that's very big for us, sort of significant for us as a church. Jacinda and I, we started the church. So, you know, 13 years ago, there was no Coast Vineyard Church. 12 years ago, we were meeting with three or four families in our lounge at our home, and that was Coast Vineyard Church, including with Craig and Susie, who were down the back there. And it's a big thing. And so let me just unpack that a little bit. I've been praying and thinking about this for really for the last probably 5 years. Just like, God, what does this look like? When's this going to happen? I really didn't want to be one of those pastors that just got older and older and older, and the church got older and older, and all the young people left, and it's just up here with cobwebs, you know. just didn't want to be that guy. So I was always thinking, like, I'd probably aim for when I was 60. And then as I started last year, I feel like maybe it's just a little bit earlier this year. So I've just turned 59. So last year was a journey of what I felt was a pretty robust discernment process around this. And got to the end of last year, really, and I go, like, I am confident that this is what I'm meant to be doing. Absolutely confident. So the church oversight team, which we have, and again, I always sort of say this, they're like our elders, but if I use the word elders, so many of you have come from different churches, and the word elder means such a different thing to so many of you. So we just call it a church oversight team. And our church oversight team, which is fantastic, we let them know at the start of this year, and our management team as well. Just on that, with our management team, we're looking at expanding that team. So if you or someone next to you is you think would be good for that, I was just talking to someone this morning, and they said that they suggested someone should apply as to be a part of that. It's very, anyway, if that's something where you think like you've got some skills around that, there. We meet just once every couple of months, look after all the practical things of the life of the church. Anyway, throw that out there. That's, we'd love you to consider that. And so those groups all together, we're deciding, well, what do we do? If our lead pastor is transitioning out, what do we do? Still got Nick and Anna up there. Good to see you guys. Do we advertise and just like ask the whole world if they'd like to, you know, come and apply? Or... do we go with an outstanding candidate that we already have here at Coast Vineyard, which is our associate pastor, Stanley, and who was, So what did we decide? that was a beautiful response. And as a collective... most of his family like getting their photo taken. That's a good photo. And we went through some pretty robust conversations around it. Like, it wasn't just like, we were really you know, crunching this one through, and where we landed was that we are only going to be looking at moving forward with Stanley and Rachel. So, see you. But when we say moving forward, we're still going to go through a process. Just so I can say that Stanley and Rachel are excited about the possibility. They've just both got this incredible heart to serve God, support, you know, to serve the church, serve people, support each other in ministry. And if they're successful, you know, like it will be both of them. You know, like Rachel won't be doing the day-to-day lead pastoring stuff, but she will also be carrying the heart of the church, supporting Stanley, contributing to vision and direction of the church. And as we said, she said earlier, she's currently on staff 10 hours a week as a pastor on staff. But we're going to have a process. We're not just going to go, hey, you know, what do you think? Yeah. we'll be taking some time just to go in a sort of a more in-depth evaluation of these guys. Stanley and Rachel are originally from Christchurch, so we need to find out what rugby team that he supports. So, and the answer is? Oh, yes. Yep, okay. But you know, the best interview that you can have is working with someone. You know, that's absolutely, and Stanley and Rachel, they've been here for 6 years, and so we've been going through the Vineyard New Zealand of recently, what they've called the Clarification Project, which is a document which has brought some real clarity around what a vineyard pastor should be, know, and do. And I'll tell you, if you're interested in the vineyard or interested in, you know, to know, we'd be more than happy to put that in your hands. It's if you really want to understand more about what the vineyard's all about, it's a wonderful thing. So please do, if you like that, ask for that, and we can send that to you. But it's around alignment of vision. You know, we already know his track record. He's got an outstanding track record. He's got a theology degree, many years relevant pastoral experience. Do an assessment of these sort of key competencies for lead pastors. Clarify job descriptions, etc. But and alongside this, we're going to be praying. We will do some, you know, some corporate praying and individual. You know, invite everyone, you know, be praying individually. And what we're looking for is just the guidance of God around the decision, the peace of God around the decision. So we would love for every one of you to be praying. And also to with an expectation that God will speak, you know, just to share with us, you know, what are your thoughts, any sort of prophetic things you feel like God is saying. Even since we talked to the leadership community on Tuesday, we've had some people feed in some things that they feel that God's been speaking to them since the start of the year, which has been super helpful. So we would love that. You know, any dreams that you have, you know, God speaks through dreams. We're going to be forming for want of a better title, a transition discernment team, the TDT. Yeah. All right. And what they're going to be doing is just considering all of the input from you as a church. The thoughts, the prophetic input, the interview input, pray and seek God together, and then that team will also be bringing their recommendations to the church oversight team. And if, you know, everything tracks as we expect, and Stanley's accepted, then we'll talk to Vineyard Churches New Zealand. Of the recommendation and request, and you know, get their acceptance, hopefully again, and then we invite the successful candidate to the role. So you probably got questions like, okay, how long is all this going to take? Can I just say too, is like, if you're here for the very first time this morning, it's obviously a little bit of a unique Sunday, if you are wanting, you're coming expecting some, you know, like. Let's chew and get into some chewy stuff in the Bible this morning. We apologize. It's more of like, it's more sort of family time, and as we are talking about some big changes, and as we look ahead for this year. People, you may be asking, so how long is this all going to take? So the best answer we can give at this stage is it's going to take months, not weeks or years. Is that okay? So probably best guess, and we're still working this through, but March and April and May going through, well, the April will be the sort of the assessment, the process. April and May, this ongoing discernment process. I'm talking to Vineyard New Zealand as well. In June, Stanley's going to be hitting, we've been planning this for a number of years, Stanley and maybe Rachel as well, but definitely Stanley's going to be heading over to the States to go to the Vineyard USA conference there, visit a number of churches that are just that much further ahead of us, that we've got strong relationship just to be able to learn and grow and build relationship there. And also have some time there where probably back here where he's got like a couple of what I'm calling quiet weeks where there's just like he's not in the office, he's able to just get some space just to be able to pray, think. So that's the thinking there. July in Vineyard New Zealand, we have a lead pastor's retreat. We're all the Vineyard pastors from around the country gather, and so we'll all go to that, and then probably in August we'll do an official kind of commissioning, probably at the church birthday, so which will be, is that 12 years or 13 years? 12, 13, 12, 12, and that'll be the 12 year, 12 years? What year is it? 2025. I know, I threw it. What year is it? You're going like, what? I've got to answer a question. And then in terms, what would that look like with me? We'll figure that out. It may be helpful to have a time of overlap with transition, or we'll just explore that. So I know that some of you may have some questions about this, and so let me ask them on your behalf, some of them anyway. So these are some of the questions that I suspect may be pondering. And the one question is this all happening because Jacinda has left and my wife, who finished as staff pastor just a few weeks back? Not really. We just feel like God has been speaking to us and taking us on this journey independently, but collectively, because we're so connected. So question is Matt, will you stay at the church? A lot of pastoral transitions, everyone says the pastor, the outgoing pastor, they have to just get out of the way because they're just going to be annoying and mess with everything. And I've read a lot of research, a lot of books on pastoral transition in the last little while, and it's the conclusion that I've come to is that there's no right or wrong way of doing this. So much of it depends on the personality types and the relationship of the outgoing pastor and the incoming pastor. And so my heart is that we want to do what's best for the church, and so we feel that it's going to work having us, continue to be here for sure. That's our expectation. So we're not planning on going anywhere. I mean, this is a great church. I was going to say this is the best, but like, I won't. But you know what I'm saying. So, another question you might be asking is do I have a plan? Have I got some cool job to go to? No, I don't have a plan or a job. And as I said, there's some wisdom around staying for some time, just especially when probably Stanley steps into the role, there'll be a lot more on his portfolio than there has been. And to be able to just go man, this week is just full, Matt, can you do this? Can you take care of that? And to just have someone that's, can do all that stuff would be super handy. But we'll see. It may work for a bit of time as an associate pastor if it seems like a good plan for everyone. But like I say, don't really know. We just really want to do what's best for the church. Another question is, does the church have a voice? And we would encourage you to please, talk to us and the transition team, which we'll get it up on the website. Isabel does that, and she's on honeymoon. So We haven't asked, but we thought she probably didn't want to do website stuff while she's on her interview. So at Coast Vineyard, we don't vote, but we value input and we consider input. You know, absolutely consider input. And you could talk to church oversight team or management team or transition team. So question maybe, will we need a new assistant associate pastor? Well, you know, maybe. It's like, it could be you. And half you're thinking like, well, maybe it could be. And the other half are like, I hope they find one. So, can I just say too that like the church is okay. Like this is, I know that with Jake and Jacinda and me, you know, all transitioning in 1 year, you go like, man, is everything okay? Everything is great. Like if you've been coming along the coast this year, it's just like, man, God is doing stuff, and there's more people are coming towards us and wanting to be a part of what He's doing here, and which is actually, it's like almost the best time because the church is in such good health and is really moving forward, which is so, it's great. And it's what it is. It's just the timing of God. It's just the timing of the Lord. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this. I'm actually looking at the time and thinking like I'm going to talk about that very quickly. And one last question is, you go like, hey, what about all that money that you asked us to give for Jake? You know, for those salaries things. Well, can I tell you, that was for, you know, to go towards being able to pay Jake and Caitlin as full-time pastors. And Jake was doing 24/7 youth work, but it was only getting paid. So 3 days at Coast, 2 days 24/7 youth work, but the extra 2 days wasn't in the holidays. And so that piece was to be able to top up Jake over the holiday period, which that has, you know, has happened. And the bulk of it was to take Caitlin from half-time to full-time, which has happened, which is just wonderful. All of that money is definitely earmarked and will only be used for sowing in and training up our key young adult leaders. So, could I just say a few things, invite you to do some things. And this is for everyone, those of you that are online, I know that a number of people watch this through the week. So for everyone, we would love, would you help us? What I would love you to do is to expect good things. You know, like they have that funny phrase, it's like, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty person, you know? And just people are wired differently, but like, could I just encourage us all just to expect good things? God is with us. God is in this. Another thing, could I ask you to do is to pray. Pray for everyone involved, for, you know, for me and Jacinda as, you know, in our transition. Yeah, it's a big thing to hand over a church that you started. It's a big thing. But pray for us. Pray for people that may find transition difficult. Pray for the incoming pastor and their family. Pray for divine input that God would speak to you. Pray for that. God, would you speak to me? Would you give me a dream about this? And then share any dreams or revelation, prophetic words. Pray for the protection of the church. You know, we are in a spiritual battle. I know you know this, but in the fullness of everyday life, it can be easy to forget that. But we are in a spiritual battle, and we have an enemy that doesn't like the church. And you know, spiritual enemies that would seek to take advantage of a time of transition to bring a little bit of chaos. So pray for our church, and just pray for the wisdom for the decision makers. Encourage you to look to the coming changes again with optimism. Believe the best. Like, God is in this, we'd love you just to, as you talk with other people about this, you know, this speak. Positively, you know, with enthusiasm. And could I just say that, like, God, for those that are part of Coast Vineyard Church, like, God has led you here to be part of this journey at Coast. And you know, we all have a part to play. I just encourage you to choose to stay committed on this journey. You may feel a little unsettled with transition. It's very understandable. And many people can interpret discomfort as, God is moving me. And it may be, but it probably isn't, okay? I would just encourage you just to stay, be part of the journey of transitioning, and you know, and commit to be, you know, to do your part on the journey. Hey, I've just would that be okay? I know it's a lot of things I'm asking of you, so. But I'm just going to invite Steve up, and then I'm going to share a little bit after that. But Steve's part of our church oversight team, and I'd just love to invite him up just to pray. Let's just pray for our church as we sort of make this announcement.
Thank you, Matt. And before I pray, I just thought, you know, it's not easy when Matt and Jacinda, who've had the church on their heart for many years, and to... My wife's directing me here, to sort of get to a place where they, it's their baby, and seen a lot of people come in, seen a lot of lives changed, and so I just really think, one thing in Vineyard, and one of the things that attracted us to Vineyard, was that there is a real humility around some of the senior leadership in the different churches. So the word honour may not always necessarily fit well with people who are at the, you know, in the senior roles, but I really would like to honour you guys today. It's not easy, and we're still in the process of transition, but to say thank you on behalf of the people who are here today, just for the hard work that you've done, the tears behind the scenes, and just continuing day by day just to be committed to this church. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And there'll certainly be plenty of time for us over the next period of time just to obviously speak into that and say our heartfelt thanks as well. We've got a bit of time and a journey. But let me just pray today, just as we have heard this news. And, you know, for some of us, it'll be exciting in terms of what's God got next. For some of us, a little bit fearful. So, Father, we just thank you today, Lord, that your word says that you will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Lord, you invite us to partner with you in the work of your hand, Father. And each of us are here, Father. We've been called into this place at this time, Father. So, Lord, just come now, I pray. Lord, where there is fear, I pray that faith would arise. Lord, where there is anxiety, I pray for peace. Lord, I pray for wisdom in the coming days for those who are involved in the discernment team, Father, and the leadership of this church, Lord. Lord, that you would guide us, you would direct our steps. Lord, that you would encourage those things that need to be encouraged, Lord. And Lord, we'd speak well about those things that you have in front of us, Father, I pray. Lord, I just thank you for Matt and Jacinda, Father, and the work of their hands to date. Lord, and I just pray for your blessing. Father, as Matt has just sort of shared, I don't know what the future holds, Father. I just pray, Lord, that you would just cause them to have a fresh vision, Lord, for the things that you have in front of him. Lord, that you would open the doors, the right doors at the right time, Father. And Lord, that he would just know that he is in your hands, Father. Lord, even as he's sort of handing the baton over, Father, I just pray, Lord, for just a fresh anointing to be upon him, that you would rest over him, Father. Lord, and as Matt has just shared before, the enemy can try and seek to cause disruption and confusion and concerns, Father, in the process. So, Lord, we just ask for a hedge of protection to be around our leaders, Father, around this church. Father, that you would do the work that only you can do, Father. You are the Alpha and Omega. Lord, this does not take you by surprise. So, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would do the work, Father, and that we would be co-laborers with you in those things that you have in front of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I was going to share a bunch of stories from the scriptures about different pastors that we read about in the book of Acts and how God sort of moved them around in different times, but we're getting close to cut off time. So let me just talk to you, though, about the Apostle Paul, who many of you will know. Like Paul, he had a remarkable encounter with God, and from that day he just gave his all to knowing and following Jesus and helping others to follow him also. It's so interesting, a radical conversion to faith, but after his initial, you know, enthusiasm and evangelism, you know, like he kind of got a contract put out on his life. So and so he, like, they said, like you need to get out of town and be safe. And he headed back to his hometown Tarsus in Turkey. And so no mission work and no church leadership, they reckon, for about 8 to 12 years. And you go, like, wow, like, what a, almost like, what a waste. He was such a, you know, such an incredible gift to the church. So in that time, he just, you know, digs into scripture and he pray, he learns it, you know, grows his prayer. And after a few years later, he gets this invitation to, like, to come and be a, to be a missionary, you know, for the church. And so he heads off on his first missionary trip into Turkey. And, like, a number of the books in our New Testament that we have in our Bible are letters written by Paul to encourage the church. These letters have been recognized as being inspired by God and have become our scriptures. And so this is someone that hears from God, okay? This is someone that hears from God. And there's this interesting situation where Paul, on his second missionary journey, he's heading out to strengthen the churches that he started through Turkey on his first the first time around. And in Acts 16, this is so interesting. This is a picture of being led by the Spirit. Like Acts 16:6 says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, which is kind of the middle of Turkey, if you like, close enough. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Isn't that interesting? And then he said, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So just the leading and directing of the Spirit of God. You just think that, like, why wouldn't you just go and preach the gospel everywhere? He's just like, no, we'd go where God leads us. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And I told you I'd put in a commercial. Like, next year, there's an opportunity for anyone that would like to. We're sort of doing a Coast Vineyard and Friends trip to some sites of Christian significance throughout Turkey and Greece. Okay, and Troas, which is the ancient city of Troy. You've seen the movie? You know, that's one of the places that we're going. So I told you there'd be a commercial. So during the night, so he's down at Troas, which is on the western coast of in the northern part of Turkey. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia, which is the northern part of Greece, standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Interesting, it just doesn't say that Paul decided. It's like we concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so he heads over to Europe. So starts at Philippi, which is, he leads Lydia to faith. She gets converted and the church starts there. Philippi is also on the trip, just so. And then he continues on to Thessaloniki, which is also in the trip, and he gets into trouble there because, like, they were like the Jewish people there, like, troublemaker, get out of town. So then he carries on further up west to Berea, which is also on the trip, and the people there are receptive to the gospel, and a church is started. And the thing I love about this is the goal is not telling as many people as he can about Jesus. The goal is obedience to the leading of the Spirit. Both in terms of his role, you know, he talks about, like, I am an apostle called by God to do this, which is not for everyone. It's not for hardly anyone. And then in the midst of that, still, like, don't go there, go here. Don't go here, go there. Right now, go over to here. Being led by the Spirit. And let me tell you, this is what, you know, Jake has been doing this year. This is what Jacinda and I have been doing. And even, like, right at the end of last year, I had this, you know, again, another significant discernment meeting with a vineyard pastor in the States who coaches pastors. And I got to the place right at the end of last year that convinced that this is what I was supposed to be doing for 2025. But even with that, I'm still praying, like, God, if I'm missing this, show me. I want to follow you and be led by you. And even with this thing, you know, another interesting thing about this whole thing of like discernment, even with Paul, like we've just, like he's the, if like anyone hears from God, it's like Paul the Apostle, right? Listen to this. And this kind of gives us grace in our own journeys of like trying to figure out like, God, this way or that way. In Romans 15, 28, Paul says this. So after I had completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. He never went to Spain. He never went to Spain. You know, we do our best, don't we? We think that this is what the Lord's leading into us. We step into it as best we know how. But like, if we don't get it right, it's okay. It's okay. All right. Let me wrap everything up in 2 minutes. You're thinking like, this is looking ahead Sunday. Well, as you can appreciate, with a transition that is significant as this in the life of the church, that's kind of the big thing for this year. It's not really appropriate for me to say like, okay, here's the next 5-year vision when, you know, there's going to be transitioning. It's not appropriate for Stanley to be doing that when it's, you know, we're in transition. But like, I'll tell you one thing we're going to do. We're going to keep like pursuing knowing God together. We're going to continue to grow in our worship of God. We're going to continue to teach and to call people forward in their life in God. We're going to continue to reach out to our community, invite people to know God. We're going to continue to serve our community. We're going to continue to do the things that we do, and which we do them because that's the invitation of the Lord for us, and it's and we're here because, you know, we love that about who we are. But just, can I just give you 3 things, like just to throw out there, why not, you know, as some pastoral advice around decision making. 3 things. 1, don't do it alone. Anytime you're making big decisions, as your pastor, I strongly encourage you, don't do this alone. There's this weird situation with one of our significant vineyard churches in America where the pastor that took over the church decided he wanted to take the vineyard out of the vineyard movement. The whole world told him that, like, you are making a mistake. This is not God. And he goes, no, I've heard from God. And it's just turned into a massive disaster. Like, just doing it on your own. Just, it's a journey with people who will be straight with you. I'm pretty grateful I've got some people around me that are pretty straight with me. Eh? Like Steve, who was up here praying for me, he's like, he'll talk straight. Simeon, who's on our church oversight team, he's a straight talker. Teresa, my admin girl, she's a straight talker. That's, sorry, that was a funny phrase. I don't normally, don't even know where that came from.
Admin whiz.
My admin whiz. It was. Apologies. My daughter Kate, she's a straight talker. So anyway, don't do it alone. 2nd thing, look for peace. Invite God to surround the right decision with peace. Just when peace is absent. And the last thing I'd say is be led by the Spirit. So easy in life to be guided by money issues or comfort issues or ego issues or what others want us to do, but as the best you know, could I encourage you, church, in all you do in life is do your best to be led by the Spirit of God. And if you don't know how to do that, that's the beauty of being part of a church family, you know, is that we can learn from those who have gifts and experiences and wisdom, and they love to pass it on to others. So don't do it alone. Look for peace. Be led by the Spirit. So here we are. That's plenty for today. Why don't we stand together? So appreciate that. It's sort of a big news Sunday. A bit of a travel commercial thrown in. A little bit of Bible. A little bit of wisdom. Yeah, let's just wait on the Lord for a minute. Let me pray. God, we're so grateful for Coast Vineyard Church. I know it's, you know, people can think of a church as like a, you know, some a building or a place or a, you know, a sign or a website, or but a church is a church because it's a bunch of individuals that choose to be family together, they know that they have been adopted into the family of God, sons and daughters of God, and that is each one of us. And so, God, as individuals that choose to be together and call ourselves your church, God, we give thanks, and we also trust you with what's ahead as we look ahead. We trust you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been the most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau, or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz, and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day. Be blessed.